Would you turn to Exodus 25, please? And we will start. I got saved in 1987, and I didn't know much. I was a very ignorant of the Bible. And when I read the book of Exodus, I could not figure out why anybody cares about the size of the tabernacle or size of the showbread table and ark. That's, what did I do? I didn't touch a thing, bro. Nobody would care about the ancient furniture. Obviously, God does. He tells his servant Moses how the tabernacle should be built exactly. There are deep spiritual lessons and reasons behind them to many people's surprise, and we are going to find out. In chapter 25 through 30 of Exodus, God gives Israel the blueprint for the tabernacle and the patterns for the garment of the high priest. We will learn about them and the construction of the election and construction and election of a tabernacle. And all these facts are for the glory of the Lord. I will connect them together and you will find out. And the tabernacle was supposed to be the center of Israelite people's lives, because that's the only place where mankind could be in touch with God. During the time of in the wilderness, the Israelites had to carry the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle wherever the Lord led them. A pillar of cloud by day and pillar of the fire by night. We follow the word of God. Amen? That this is the living manual. We don't want to do anything out of this Bible. Because if we do, we become out of God's will. We don't want to be in their shoes. Let's stop and pray. Father, you are the one who set forth what we are supposed to do through your word. As we read your word, Father, we learn that you provide the propitiation by your son's blood through your faith, through our faith, and to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, Father, you had passed over our sins and washed them away from us. Father, we know for sure we cannot do anything right without you. Your word said again, without you, we can do anything. Without you, we are nothing. There is one thing we are good at without you, sinning against you. Father, teach us today that we may know Jesus intimately. Anoint our heart that we may understand your ways, and anoint the one who speak, that he may not speak his own, but your word only. Father, we pray against this COVID virus. Father, we are asking you to eradicate it from the face of the earth. And we pray for the Biden administration. There are many people who do not know you. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ, and they may not do the things according to their ideology, which stand against you. But Father, let them be the servant of God, that they may do what is right in your sight, and they may bring glory to your holy name. Father, we pray for the protection upon our uniformed personnel, our soldiers, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. Father, protect them. Reach out to them and comfort their heart, because they've been ostracized from the society. All this cancel culture, woke culture, is often treated as they are the enemy of public. And when something bad happens to those people in public, they are the ones who cry out, where is the police? Father, protect them, Lord, as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 25, verse 1, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Would you underline next phrase? From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Verse 3. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood. All for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I saw you, and that is a pattern of the tabernacle and pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Stop, please. Israel had been out of the slavery of Egypt, by now it's a few months, and they were told to make a contribution to help build the tabernacle. Later, we find out that the children of Israel gave so much that they were told to stop bringing the offerings. Only in the any pastor's dream that would happen. This is our 20th year. We started year 2001 with 8 people. And now we have our own building. The Lord has been gracious to us every time. There are some weeks I looked at the offering, total amount of offering, and I look at Raul Perez sent it to me faithfully, and I look at, wow, boy, we hope that we can pay the bills this month. Guess what he does? He always provides what we need. He's the provider. He's a faithful God. Never skip. Our giving should not be done because someone made us feel guilty. Or just shut them up. To shut them up. Rather, we should give it to the Lord because our willing heart compels us. Let me put it this way. If you don't tithe, if you don't give an offering to the Lord, God is not missing out anything. Do you know that? God is not missing anything, but you are the one who is missing. When you give, let's say you need this much money to survive, you give. If you choose to tithe 10%, that means you have less money to live on. Am I correct? Are you following this math? But if you are willing to live on with this amount to meet all of this amount, you need a faith. Am I correct? That's where our God comes in. He will meet not only this amount, and He will give you more. He has proven it time after time in our lives. There's only one portion in the Bible, there is one area in the Bible says, God says, test me. In all the other places, He said, don't test your God. Do you know what that area is? Finance. Your dinero. Because everybody hold on to that money so tight. Put the death grip on that thing. Believers, do it this way. Open your hands. Let God handle your finance. He will provide. And some of you may think that, well, I just came to church and now you're talking about money. Ask person next to you, how often does the pastor talk about money when the text drives? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves what? Cheerful givers. Our Lord owns everything. Would you agree? He owns everything in the universe. And He has created everything out of nothing. And He can create anything if He needs. Yet He usually uses a willing and an obedient heart of His people to support His work on earth. This is how He developed the giving heart within us. When we learn to give, when we learn to become givers, we become more like God. Because God, He is the greatest giver. I did something fun just to find out how much gold is in this tabernacle. It's a shekel, but when you convert that shekels into the pound, it's a 2,193 pound in the tabernacle. That's equivalent to over $54 million in current value. For silver, there were 7,544 pounds. That's equivalent to the $1.5 billion. It's a rather expensive tent, isn't it? Our first reaction would be, where did this people, Israelite, get this kind that's much gold? They were slaves in Egypt. Where did they get it? Remember when they left, when they exodus to Egypt, they asked, God told them to ask for their Egyptian masters, ask for the back wages, silver and gold. And these Egyptians were glad to get rid of all these Israelites who caused nothing but the troubles. They were handing out all this gold and silver to them. And they took and went into a wilderness journey. The pattern of the tabernacle was according to heavenly reality. It's a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. And some of you are thinking, where did you find that? I'm glad you asked. So go to the Hebrews chapter 8, please. Way in the back of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 8. Right before the book of James. Our memory verse. To serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make a tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to pattern shown you on the mountain. In other words, it means that it has to be according to exact dimensions. And that was a somewhat scaled down version of the throne of grace in heaven. Let's continue in verse 10 of chapter 25. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and cubit and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with the pure gold inside out. You shall overlay it. You shall make a molding of the gold all around. And you shall cast the four rings of the gold for it. Put them in the four corners. Two rings shall be on the one side. Two rings will be on the other side. And you shall make a pole of acacia wood. Overlay them with the gold. You shall put a pole into the ring on the side of the ark, and the ark may be carried by them. Verse 15, pole shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. Stop there, please. Here's the picture of the ark, possibly, our artist's rendition. The bottom portion is the ark, and top cover is known as a mercy seat. And two cherubims, wings stretch out toward each other, facing their face toward the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And the pole is overlaid with the gold on the acacia wood. This Ark is known as the Ark of the Covenant or Ark of God. Dimension is 3 feet 9 inches long and 2 feet 3 inches wide and 2 feet 3 inches high. One cubit that I mentioned is equivalent to 1.5 feet, 18 inches. It represents the power and the authority of God in the camp of Israel. This was the most important item associated with the tabernacle and modeled after the throne of God in heaven. What is the meaning of ark? It means a box. Nothing fancy. However, don't be confused with the Noah's ark. This Ark of Covenant is a simple box made out of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. The Ark is a perfect representation of our Lord Jesus Christ in his deity and humanity. Why do I say that? Not like a centaur. I'm sure you've seen the half man, half horse in the Greek mythology. This, our God, Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Why did God choose acacia wood? Because it's harder than oak and it's very durable against a wood-eating insect. In other words, there's no bad spot on that wood. What does that represent? It's a man without sin. They also used the pure gold, which represent deity. The ark was not wooden chest, nor is it a golden chest. It is the two materials, gold and wood, are not mingled. They are two separate. 100% God, 100% man, Jesus Christ. Some people who are ignorant of the Bible tend to argue that Jesus never proclaimed to be God. Is that true? When I hear that kind of comment, I ask them a question. How much time do you have now that I can show you from the Bible that he claimed in four Gospels alone that he claimed to be his God? Many times. However, Jesus is perfectly human being. He grew tired and sat to rest at the well in Samaria in the heat of the day. He slept, he ate, he drank, he laughed, he wept, and got angry at the injustice and hypocrisy. Beyond that, guess what he did? He suffered and died for us. All of these are human characteristics. Gold overlaid acacia pole was to remain inside in the pole, to be only source of contact with this ark. Apart from that, no one's supposed to touch the ark for whatever reason. Remember the situation that the ark was residing in one person's home, and David wants to carry into the city of David, into his palace. And so he put it on the cart. Remember that incident in 1 Samuel? And turning the corner, as it turned the corner, the ox stumbled, and the ox started tilting over. One of the faithful soldiers of David reached out and touched the ark to stabilize it. Guess what happened to him? God struck him dead. David was upset. Why did you kill my soldier? He was just trying to protect the ark. Really? Do you think God needs a protection? No. He could keep that thing and stabilize it without any problem. How about this? When the ark came back from the Philistine territory, and it went to the Israeli village, and there were people, Israeli people, decided to look inside out of curiosity. They were told not to look inside, but they wanted to look inside anyway. Disobeying God. They looked inside and they were all killed. Some of you guys may remember the Indiana Jones Lost Ark. Did I say correctly? Whatever. Raiders of the Lost Ark. There you go. Close enough. Who cares? There is a scene when SS person, the German SS person, opened up the ark to look inside. Immediately his face evaporated into skull, right? Okay, that's a Hollywood version, but that is correct. Not in that manner died. God will not deal with any disobedience. Verse 17, please. Now we're going to learn about the mercy seat. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. Did you notice that? Pure gold, not made with acacia wood. Pure gold. Two and a half cubits shall be the length, and a cubit and a half width, and you shall make a two cherubim of gold. Of hammered work you shall make them at the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub on one end, make the other cherub on the other end. Stop there for me, please. Jesus was buried in the tomb 3 days and three nights later, and tomb was opened, and Mary, Peter and John went inside. What did they find? They found the two angels sitting on one end, on the other end. Can you connect? The Ark of Covenant. It's a pure gold representing deity, not made with acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Okay, let's continue. Verse 20. Cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. Face of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat, facing down. And they shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put in the testimony that I will give you. There I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. From between the two cherubims, which are on the ark of testimony, about everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. Put up that picture, please. You see the Ark of Covenant, and there is a mercy seat, and two cherubims stretched their wings toward each other, and their face toward the mercy seat. Easy for us to think that, well, that mercy seat means a sitting place, like a throne of grace. No, that's the place. Once a year, Day of Atonement, the high priest was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. There he sprinkled the blood of sacrifice on the mercy seat. With that, atonement of the Israelites' sins were made for one more year. The idea was that the Lord looked down on the mercy seat, saw the blood that covered the sin of the people, not their rebellion. Am I making sense? Hello? The mercy seat also means propitiation. The fulfillment of this was done when the Jesus Christ, once and for all, for the saints of the world, took away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Okay. When the high priest sprinkled the blood on top of the mercy seat, it only covered people's sin for a year. Temporary. Are you with me so far? But when Jesus died, he took away our sins. So when Jesus, and when God the Father sees us, he sees us holy and righteous on account of Jesus Christ, not on our account. Because our account is filled with the filthy, dirty sins. It doesn't matter how holy you look, how holy you smell, but you're still a sinner, just like any one of us. You're declared to be pure, holy, and righteous because of Jesus Christ. Our memory verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, please. Come on, turn your Bible. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, as if never been sinned, never been happened, because of our Lord Jesus. Back to chapter 25 in Exodus, please. Now we see the table of showbread. You shall also make a table of acacia wood, two cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width, and cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with the pure gold, making a molding of the gold all around, and you shall make it for the frame of the handbreadth all around. And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make it for the four rings of gold, and put the rings of the four on the four corners that are in the four legs. And the rings shall be close to the frame, and the holders of it for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of the acacia wood overlaid them with the gold. The table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. You shall set the showbread on the table before me always. Stop, please. Once you come out of the Holy of Holies, why do I say that? In the tabernacle, there's two sections. One is Holy of Holies, small square area, and the other one is known as the Holy Place. It's a little bit bigger area. You would see, once you come out from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of Covenant is located, you come out through this curtain, you would see the three furnitures in the Holy Place. First one you would see on the left side as you looking at the entrance. On the left side will be called, the showbread. On the right side, lampstand. And right before you is the altar of incense. Inside the Holy Place is all about the place of worship. Golden lampstand represent the Lord Jesus as the light of the world. Table of showbread symbolize the Lord and being the bread of life. And the altar of incense speaks of a prayer. Jesus is our great intercessor for us. And the Father hear our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I making sense so far? Would you put the show table, show bread table. Thank you. There. Thank you. Table is made of the acacia wood overlaid with gold, 3 feet long, a foot and 6 inch wide, and 2 feet, 3 inch high. Not big, small size. According to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5 through 9, showbread made of the fine flour and 12 cakes of the showbread. No, what's that? Baking soda. Unleavened bread. Yes, thank you. It's a Green Valley thing. Just, it's in your head, but you cannot bring it out to your mouth. Once a week, bread was replaced. Only priests could eat the old bread. Bread was a reminder that God fed his people spiritually and physically. The showbread speak of Christ as a life sustainer. Go to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am what? The bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Now we're going to take a look at the golden lampstand. Chapter 25, verse 31, please. You shall also make a lampstand pure gold. Note that, please. Lampstand shall be the hammered work. Its shaft, its branch, its bolt, and its ornamental knob, flowers shall be of one piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossom on one branch with the ornamental knob and a flower. 3 bowls made like the almond blossom on the other branch with the ornamental knob and flower. And so for the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand. On the lampstand itself, the 4 bowls shall be made like an almond blossom, each with its ornamental knob and a flower. There shall be the knob under the first 2 branches of the same, knob under the 2nd branches of the same, knob under the 3rd 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knob and their branches shall be of the one piece, and all of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamp so that it gives a light in front of it. Its wick trimmered, and their trays shall be pure gold. They shall be made of the talent of the pure gold. And with all these utensils, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you in the mountain. Would you put up there you go. Thank you. It's known as a menorah, right? It's made of one piece of gold. It's not like you use a super glue or duct tape. Duct tape fix everything, right? Including the landing gear of the airplane. When are you going to fly next time? Check out the duct tape in the landing gear. Some of the Bible translation. If you have a King James Version, it will say candlesticks. In my opinion, that is a wrong translation because it has nothing to do with the candles. Candle was invented around 200 BC when Israelis left Egypt. It was 1290 BC, about 1,000 years before. So the proper translation is a lampstand, menorah, in Hebrew because it holds oil lamp. The lampstand was lit permanently to give a light inside the holy place. The tabernacle does not have a windows, does not have a skylight on the top. Only source of the light was this lampstand. The priest in the tabernacle was responsible for evening and morning, topping up the 7 lamps with oil and trimming their wicks. Therefore, the lampstand points us to Jesus Christ himself as the light of the whole world. Go to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8, verse 12. Some of you guys know this by heart. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, or shall have the light of life. Did you notice we didn't read any portion in the description, any cubit for the lampstand? You know why? It's made out of pure gold. It represents deity. God cannot be measured. Am I making sense? Then you may say, well, what about the mercy seat? Isn't that we have a measurement? Yes, that's about Jesus Christ, who was a man before. The oil lamp was placed upon the lampstand. The lampstand supported the flame, and flame revealed the beauties of the golden lampstand. Olive oil lamp is a scriptural reference, symbol of the Holy Spirit. As the holy olive oil lamp was supported by the lampstand, and they in turns revealed the beauties of the lampstand. Let me put it in our spiritual terms. Christ is the foundation and support for the works of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in turn revealed the beauties of the Christ. Make sense? I have two applications for you. Number one, our giving should not be done because somebody made us feel guilty or to shut them up. Rather, we should give it to the Lord because our willing heart compels us. Second application, the Bible is incredibly engineered by God to point to Jesus Christ as God, the light of the world, the sustainer of our lives, and the Savior of this dying world. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.